from the United America Network, this is Varsity Vibes, your roundup of prep sports action and the voices from prep athletics all across Riverside County with Luke Lamont. Now, here's Luke.
Time for some postseason football. The regular season has come to an end, and 19 teams from Riverside County have made their way into the CIF Southern Section playoffs. Three number one seeds, the most teams are ranked in Division II, four of them coming from Riverside. We're going to kick things off by listing off all the teams, and then we'll go a little bit in depth of the matchups they have coming up. So the first team, the highest ranked, is Murrieta Valley, the top seed in Division II. Beaumont as well in Division 2, Chaparral in Division 2, Vista Murrieta in Division 2 to round things off, Murrieta Mesa jumps up to Division 3, San Jacinto in D4, Great Oak in D4 as well, Roosevelt in Division 6 along with King, Palm Springs finds themselves as the top seed in Division 7, Palm Desert the top seed in Division 8, along with La Quinta and Temecula Valley in Division 8 as well. Riverside Poly finds themselves in Division 9 along with Santiago. Shadow Hills is in Division 11, and Valley View is in Division 11 as well. Jumping to D12 is Coachella Valley, and to round things off for the entirety is Linfield Christian in Division 13. So we'll take a look. Murrieta Valley ranked 14th in the state coming into these playoffs. A chance at redemption from heartbreak last year, and it starts against Corona Del Mar, ranked 41st. 31-28 loss to Avenge is on the line this year for the Nighthawks. A dramatic game versus Newberry Park in the 2024 Division II Bracket Championship. I would say Murrieta this year is just as good. You know, they've really revamped their run game as well, which led them to their Division II championship appearance last year. I would say right now Murrieta Valley's got to be the favorite to win Division II, especially ranked top seed. They're going to have that home game to start against the Sea Kings. Expect a lot from the Nighthawks and another deep playoff run to avenge that championship loss at home last year. Going to move on to Beaumont, who is 46th. They find themselves against San Clemente this year and have to make up for a shutout loss in round one a year ago. There's a good chance to make a statement. San Clemente, ranked 19th, is favored in this matchup against Beaumont. Chaparral back in Division 2 again against Chaminade this time, as the Pumas look to make it past the first round as well, unlike last year. Their loss to semifinalist Yorba Linda in the opening week of the postseason ended their 2024 campaign. Vista Murrieta, ranked 21st, is in versus Damien, who's ranked 47th. In what should be a fun matchup, Damien looks to make up for a blowout loss in round one in the Division 2 bracket last year, and welcome Vista Murrieta to Division 2 from their D3 spot last year with a loss in that opening round. Murrieta Mesa tries for a back-to-back title, a huge jump into D3 from Division 6, where the Rams play Bishop Amat in Round 1, a phenomenal matchup between two rising programs in the LA and Riverside areas. Head coaches Oscar McBride and Corey Miner have done a great job at turning these two programs around over the last few seasons. They now meet to play the winner of Pacifica and Oak Hills. San Jacinto dropped to Division 4 after a D2L last year to Newberry Park in Round 1. They got shut out 27-0 in that game. They take on Bishop Diego in the first round this year of Division 4. Great Oak takes on Cajon in a tough matchup in Round 1. It'll be a big challenge after a jump up from Division 9 last year. Huge jump up. That's going to be a tough matchup for them to move on to the second round. Roosevelt is in versus Crespi on the road after a 5-5 season to make the playoffs after missing last year's postseason with a 2-8 record. That's a good chance for the Mustangs to get that first postseason win in a little bit, especially they're against a good team. Crespi's been pretty solid at football for the last couple of years here. So a good jump, three-game swing for Roosevelt. Good chance to get a win there in the playoffs, but it's tough on the road. Palm Springs finds their way into Division 7. Their lone loss is going to be to Palm Desert, who is the top seed in Division 8. We'll get to that next. But right now, top seed in Division 7 is Palm Springs versus Claremont in the first round. They're looking to go in a deep playoff run after a great 9-win season leaves them with high expectations. That one loss was disappointing. They were hoping for that undefeated season. But when you come into the playoffs with 9 wins and the top seed in the bracket, it's going to favor you. Palm Springs definitely the favorite to take that division. And I do like their odds looking forward. They did have that one slip up, but they've been very solid all year long. Expect a good run from Palm Springs. Palm Desert won the Desert Empire League with a 35-0 win versus La Quinta last week to lock up that spot. They did beat Palm Springs, as we mentioned, and earned themselves the top seed in Division 8 versus Marina in Round 1. Big wins down the stretch for the Aztecs have them as a team to watch out for that D8 championship as well. A lot of good football being played out in the desert and could potentially see some hardware coming their way. La Quinta will be in the same bracket as their Desert Empire rival and face Fullerton in Round 1 to avoid another first-round exit like last year's. They'll have that opportunity in Division 8. Temecula Valley also sneaks in Division 8 at 5-5 after a big 38-12 win versus Corona in their final game. 5-5 wasn't good enough last year, but it is good enough this year for the Golden Bears. Temecula Valley need to get in the playoffs. You never know, maybe a team like them, all you need is that shot in the postseason to really start heating things up. You never know how things work out in the postseason, but ending the regular season with a good win and getting that boost of momentum to find out that you've made the playoffs definitely could have things looking up for the Golden Bears. Riverside Pauley in Division 9 taking on Santiago, great Riverside County matchup that we'll certainly recap next week for you all. Pauley with the momentum on their side as Santiago has struggled in the second half of the season after a 4-1 start. They finish 5-5. Pauley is 7-3 on the season. So that one definitely favors Pauley for that matchup. But you never know. Santiago could bring some of that early season magic back. In D11, Shadow Hills finds themselves pitted against Jurupa Hills in Round 1, looking to make it back to Round 2 where they fell last year. Valley View joins Shadow Hills in Division 11 and will take on Dominguez in Round 1, another team looking to score another playoff win and redeem a second-round loss of last year. In Division 12 is Coachella Valley, another 5-5 team. They play Banning in Round 1, dropping from Division 9 last year, where they lost to Great Oak 42-7 in Round 1, so a better chance for Coachella Valley to rebound, potentially get some playoff wins under their belt in that lower division. And in Division 13, rounding things off the final division, is Linfield Christian makes their way into the playoffs, sneaking in at 4-6, and will start things off with a Round 1 matchup versus Wilson. So that is your Riverside playoff outlook throughout the season. We're going to review all these games next week as well and continue to follow all these teams throughout their playoff journey. You know, hopefully they get some opportunities down the road and some good matchups that we can cover and get some of these teams into the semifinals, potentially championship matchups. I predict a good chunk of these teams are going to make some noise in the playoffs, like Murrieta Valley. Murrieta Mesa, too, could watch out for them. Palm Desert and as well as Palm Springs. Those are the teams I'd say have the best chance to go far in these playoffs. We're going to jump over to flag football. Flag football, we're going to rehash our highlighted flag teams from the episode 2. Linfield Christian fell to Corona Del Mar in round 2. A 7-6 in a tight game. The Sea Kings, by the way, are off to the Division 2 title game now after their win on Saturday versus Newberry Park. A lot to be proud of for Linfield Christian in that aspect, where you're so close, 1 point away from taking out the now finalist and potentially Division II champions. We'll see that matchup, Corona Del Mar and Westlake meeting for that Division II crown in flag football. Beaumont lost to Gar in round 1, 31-21, to end their incredible 17-3 season early in the postseason. Shadow Hills was stunned 7-6 by Portola in round 1 as well, bringing a stunning end to their season that saw the Knights win 23 games and only 5 losses. So all three of those teams we talked about as a short preview into the playoffs all fall short of their lofty expectations and their goals they had set for themselves going into those playoffs, you know, the second round losses and first round losses as well. So nobody making it past the second round is unfortunate for those three teams. Had a handful of star players, so they'll go back to the drawing board for next year. We're going to dive a little bit deeper now into flag football. The Division 3 bracket saw more Riverside teams quest for a title. A matchup between two took place in round 1, with Norco blowing Hemet out of the tournament 27-6, however would find similar fate in round 2 with a 26-7 loss to Long Beach Poly. Santiago also made their way into the playoffs with a first-round win 25-12 over Patriot before falling to Mission Viejo, who was on a deep playoff run. Now the Division 4 bracket was flooded with Riverside teams, with 8 teams making the playoff bracket. King and Great Oak both found themselves facing each other in the quarterfinals. King had the edge with a 19-8 win to punch their ticket into the semifinals. Chaparral fell in round one to now finalists West Ranch, and Temecula Prep fell in round two versus Canyon Springs. Meanwhile, on the other side of the bracket, Murrieta Mesa fell in round one versus Chaminade to end their season. Corona took Temecula Valley to the brink of elimination, but the Golden Bears pulled it out 19-18 on their way to a quarterfinal loss versus a fellow Riverside County team. Pauley had made their way to the quarterfinals as well after beating Temescal Canyon, then on to a win versus Chaminade, before sending Temecula Valley packing with a 26-20 win. King had made it to a game versus West Ranch where they had fell 7 points shy of a title berth in a 12-6 loss, and Pauley defeated Royal 12-7 to make their way to a championship game next week versus West Ranch. We'll make sure to update you on how they do in that title contest for the Division 4 bracket of girls flag football in the southern section. We're going to make our way over to volleyball, the final of the fall sports now. Temecula Valley, highest ranked team in Riverside County this year and in the Division 1 bracket, knocked out Oaks Christian in the first round 3-1, but fell to Sierra Canyon the next round in a 3-0 sweep to end their stellar season. Murrieta Valley also had their postseason cut short after a 3-0 sweep loss to San Marcos to open the Division 2 bracket. That's a shocker for the Nighthawks. And that will end their volleyball bid for a championship. They had a great year last year. This one cut a little bit short. Murrieta Mesa made it slightly farther than their Murrieta rival, falling in the second round 3-0 to Bishop Montgomery after a sweep win in round one. Roosevelt found their way into Division 2 as well, falling to West Ranch 3-0 in round two, also after a sweep win in round one. West Ranch sits in the finals against Santa Margarita. In Division 3, Pauley and Hemet both fell in their first round matchups to Cypress 3-0 and Village Christian 3-1. Division 4 had a handful of Riverside County teams. Linfield Christian made it the furthest in the bracket with a quarterfinals loss to Oak Park 3-1 after sweeping their first two matchups against Hesperia Christian and San Jacinto. Palm Desert fell short in round one in a sweep to San Jacinto. Santiago also made it to the quarterfinals in Division 4 with a loss only of one set throughout the playoff and lost to Dana Hills in a 3-0 sweep. Division 5 saw Corona fall after a round one win in a 3-0 loss to Chadwick, as well as a Palm Springs first round exit 3-1 versus El Toro. Jumping down to the Division 6 bracket had Indio fall short in the first round 3-1 versus Bishop Diego. Joining Coachella Valley, who lost in the first round 3-1 to South Hills. Valley View put up a solid fight falling 3-1 in the quarterfinals versus Capistrano Valley. Valley View had a 3-2 win over Sedgerstrom and a 3-0 win over Barstow before being eliminated. However, there is some good news for Riverside County Volleyball as the West Valley Mustangs have found their way into the Division 7 finals. An 11-win regular season team now sees them on a run in the playoffs, 15-18 their current record, heading into Division 7 finals with wins over Calvary Baptist, Faith Baptist, and Elsinore, with a sweep over Faith Baptist and Elsinore to punch their ticket into the Division 7 finals. We're going to get that to you once that game is played. Hopefully, we can crown the West Valley Mustangs as champions here. That would be the only Riverside team to capture a CIF crown in volleyball, so that's something definitely to look forward to. Mustangs turning their season around on a great run to end this year. We'll watch how that one wraps up. Now we're going to get into our main story for today. Norco, 7-3 record on the season, flipped to 1-9 after 6 forfeit losses for CIF violations for playing ineligible players. Now, this is not the only team who's suffered this fate throughout this season. Millikan had it early in the year. San Juan Hills also had this issue. And the biggest deal here is this cost Norco the playoffs. They were in great position to get an at-large bid into the CIF Southern Section playoffs, and now they are eliminated as the brackets have come out, and they're not a part of it. So they're going to miss out on the postseason after a solid year because of those ineligible players playing in the game. And we're going to give our thoughts on this of the ability to play these ineligible players, if you're aware of it, is, you know, high school is now being taken to this level of competitiveness that is a little bit higher than I feel like it should be. I think football and all sports at the high school level should be competitive. But at the end of the game, as you've heard from some of the coaches we've had on this show talk about it, is this at the end of the day is about teaching them that there is life after their sport as well, and building a good community. And you're not always necessarily worrying about winning those big games every single time. It's about the memories that you can make with those friends and your teammates. When we talked last week on our episode, that was a big deal, big on sticking around for all 4 years and being able to say and look back, oh, look at this is what I did for my school from a freshman to a senior and staying on these teams. And the transfer portal state of high school football currently has a lot of these players bouncing around, and there's plenty of paperwork and different rules that CIF has in place to have these players become eligible for competition. And the teams need to be able to follow this, or else it results in the players not only not sitting out the time that they're meant to in order to make things fair for these transfers, is it results in teams like Norco, for example, right now in a situation where their season for the players who had been on the team all that time are now getting punished because those transfers were playing in games that they were not eligible to play in. So it cost them their entire season, 1-9, as we said. That is a complete almost flip. That's 6 games that they had to forfeit that they had won because of the ineligible transfers playing in that game. So that does cost Norco big time. It costs a lot of the players on the team as well. And it's a big impact on that program going forward now with the CIF violation. Same thing happened, like we said, with Milliken and San Juan Hills. Those are big impacts that are directly on the players. And it's not exactly sure how those ineligible players got into the game, why they were in the game or whatnot. But at the bottom line, those kind of issues need to be taken care of because it does end up costing these other kids who have stayed at that school and the transfers coming in, not blaming the transfers, but the transfer situation of high school football makes it to where it's tricky. It's a tricky system to make sure you're eligible once transferring to a school, but you got to make sure things are sorted out, or else it does end up costing some of these programs if they're not able to make sure that they meet all these CIF requirements. I don't think that high school football is in a very good situation with transfers right now. I think it's something that needs to get settled down a little bit, because at the end of the day, I'm a believer that it is that situation where you should build something where you are. You know, if you're good enough, they will find you. If you want to be a part of a different team and stay there for a handful of years because you see a great opportunity and they reach out to you, I have nothing wrong with transferring in that instance. But bouncing around to a bunch of schools, that's a little bit different. And I think it does end up hurting the player at the end of the day more than anybody else, because it's hard to gain traction with a new team X amount of times throughout high school. You only have a 4-year window, so it does hurt missing that first half of the season because of the transfer sit-out window. And if it's that kind of situation where, you know, these transfers, the team needs them to play, it's going to be tough when they have to sit out. That's another thing that CIF and looking at it is they have that sit-out window, so people aren't jumping from ship to ship however they may please, and trying to make it more fair for the teams that don't get those transfers early on in the season. But this situation with Norco, 6 forfeit losses is not anything to be taken lightly. It is a big deal that completely, as we mentioned, flips the season. Their season is over now when they were expecting playoffs because these transfers had been allowed to play in these games. So for Norco, that's something they really have to clean up and figure out going into next season, how this happened, why it happened, and how they can prevent something like this from impacting their 2026 campaign, because this is not something you want to become a trend, and it has become more of a trend overall in high school football, and it would be great to see something like this, especially this year with what happened with Bishop Montgomery and Milliken and San Juan Hills and now Norco, is you want to see this get cleaned up, and you want to see this out of the high school game. CIF violations should not be something that happen every single year with a handful of big name programs. It should be followed, done by the book, and these teams should be worrying more about their players than worrying about getting these people into the game when they're not eligible. It should be about the people that can play. You should know that your players are eligible, and they should get in the game only when they are allowed to, because it costs the people that are a part of this program. It costs the transfers as well, because now those games they look at and it's a forfeit loss and they were ineligible playing in those games. So it's a tough look for everybody on that team that the school needs to get a handle on And it's a hard pill to swallow for the entire program. They're in a situation now where they're 1-9, they miss the playoffs, and it's hard on those kids to accept the fact that you were expected to the playoffs, and now all of a sudden in the last week of the season, the CIF investigation finds out you've used ineligible players for 6 of your games, you wipe those away, and now you're seeing your potential last season if you're a senior at that school go by the wayside because the CIF regulations were not followed. So that's a very unfortunate story coming out of Norco, and we hope the best for that program to turn things around and move on and have that not be a continuous thing going forward. It's important to mention in this kind of situation that for those kids who are transferring to that school, it's not on them that they're in those games when they're ineligible. It's got to be something that the school itself has to figure out as to why those players were in that game, and they need to handle the situation, because every player, whether they've been there for 4 years or not, that's terrible for them in that situation where now their season's by the way. So especially if you're a transfer senior as well, is you transfer there for your last year trying to make a run at a title, and now it's all for naught because you were allowed in a game when you shouldn't have been allowed in it. You know, it is never on that transfer player for being in that game. And for Norco, like we said, I hope the best for them. That's a wrap for this week's look at Riverside County Prep Sports, where from the desert to the mountains and from the pass to the valleys, our student athletes bring their best every game, every day. Join us next week as we shine the spotlight on more hometown heroes from across all 23 school districts, right here where the pride of Riverside County plays on. Thanks for joining us on Varsity Vibes on the United America Network.
Varsity Vibes with Luke Lamont is presented by the United America Network. Based in Riverside County, California, UAN is your home team for respecting the American way and countering the spread of misinformation. This is what democracy sounds and looks like.